Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Turncloaks, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D sex icon, and I'm back today with my cast and crew to enter once again into this dark and delicious world. Let's go around the cast and crew, figure out who we are and who we're playing, and let's start off today with Sydney. How are you doing, Sydney?
I'm doing good. I always get caught off guard when we start with me. I'm doing really good. I'm super excited to keep going and maybe engage in some combat. I'm ready. I was born ready. And I'm playing Ari. She is a half-elf rogue.
Great stuff. We've got Tool School with us tonight. How are you doing, Tool School?
I am doing great. This is going to get interesting because Alistair is going to have to do some things he's really not comfortable with doing. He's lived behind a mask for many years, so we'll see. As I said, I'm playing Alistair, and he is a plague doctor, which is a cleric in this low magic world.
Josh, how are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. It's things are going to go terribly wrong. There's a fist fight. Always love to start in a fist fight, especially as I am playing a monk. I'm playing Luna, who is a shadow monk, and super actually really likes fist fights. This is probably the first thing, even though it's happened in a terrible circumstance. I'm excited, sort of, maybe, possibly.
Excellent. And last but not least, Joseph.
Oh, just doing fantastic, always ready to experience the death and destruction that is Turncloaks. I'll be playing Tamarin, the human ranger of the group.
Excellent stuff. And here to remind us what happened last time on Turncloaks, Joseph, please remind us what went on last week.
So we started off in Auchinbury just after the siege and eventual defeat of...
Sir Raiden.
That's right, Sir Raiden's forces. Trying to expel his memory from my mind. And just after that, we left Arkenbury and went to Kirchwald, where we discovered the city basically in ruins with the corpses of several of the guards strewn about the halls, and a set of mysterious footprints leading to the south. We then went through the tunnels to the capital of Ostwald, where we met Donovar. We emerged from his... essentially his freezer, and he was nice enough to give us a place to stay, and just as he was leaving, after saying goodbye to us, he initiated a fist fight with five men with clubs in the street, so that's where we left off.
It's pretty accurate, yeah. So that's what we'll pick up on today's show. You spot Donovar, as you guys are from a window vantage point, you see Donovar throw the first punch against a bunch of five guys with clubs, and they have nails in the clubs as well for extra tearing damage, and they've just invited him to come and have a conversation with one Mr. Wick, who you guys know to be a local gang leader in control of the arms trade, well, the illegal arms trade within the capital city. So Donovar punches the guy, sends a few teeth flying, and the rest of them move in to attack him with the nailed clubs. Donovar's a big guy, but he's kind of, you know, holding his own against some of the blows, but you can see those nails get embedded in his arms as he protects himself, and they kind of tear themselves out, and he kind of, as that happens. Are you guys looking to get involved in this fight whatsoever?
Luna's halfway down the stairs.
No! Ari will, as Ari was the one who was looking out the window and close to it, Ari will go and put herself in front of the door and block your way out. And she says, I know that he's our friend, but we need him to lose. And we need to follow them because they are the ones who are going to take us to Jasper.
He actually looks a little horrified at her. And that man is the only reason we're going to make it in this city. If we lose him, if he dies, if he gets infected.
They can't kill him right now. They need him alive. He's not going to die, he is going to be hurt, but we can heal him later. We need him to lose, so we can follow them. That man is the only reason we're going to find the person that we need. He has to lose.
She makes sense.
Yeah, you look down into the street and you see that Donovar has a man up against a wall and he's throttling him, and three of the others behind, almost in unison, club him in the back of the head, and those nails kind of embed themselves in here, and Donovar just passes out unconscious against the wall and the man is dropped.
You see, like, a tear starts to go down Ari's face, like, she hates doing this.
Just to clarify, like, did the nails go into his head?
Most likely, yeah. Some of them are going to be embedded there. Donovar is slumped and unconscious against a wall, and the gangsmen begin to drag him off down into an alley.
We have to follow them.
Can we get out of these windows? Are these the windows that he said?
Yeah, you can jump up onto the roof, or you could follow them in the alleys.
So Luna just looks to Ori and gives her, like, the look of that judgmental, quite cold, angry glare, but he doesn't.
Oh, Ari gives it right back to you.
Yeah, and he opens the window and goes from sort of like an elderly man glaring at a youth to a very live individual who throws himself across the gap and takes off trying to follow them across the rooftops.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. The houses are quite close together. So you can jump onto a roof and follow them from above.
Alistair doesn't follow. He shakes his head as the rest of the party goes out. Are you guys going?
Yeah, Ari will absolutely go. And she'll look back and say, come on. But she won't stay.
Tam, are you going?
I'm going to look to you.
I can't go. If I'm spotted, you'll be identified. Find out about Brenlin. Remember Brenlin. Find out. If they're here, who's representing? If they have a representative. Go, go, quickly, you'll lose them.
Yes, take care, my friend. Stay in the shadows.
I will.
All right, and I follow.
Yeah, the three of you leave Alistair behind in the safe house and jump onto the rooftops to follow the group of the gangsmen of Jasper Wick's gang. They pull the bear-like body of Donovar through the back alleys. Anyone that kind of is in the alleys just scatters when they see them. People avert their eyes, turn away, and do not seem to be confronting them whatsoever, despite this clear act of violence which has been committed. These people know better. And they lead them through the streets, and you guys can pretty easily follow on rooftops without any roles needed for it, until they reach a pretty large looking bunkhouse on the east side of town. You will have seen signs that point this to being the Barksdale area. This area of town is called Barksdale. The gangmen lead him inside this, like, as I mentioned, pretty large cabin. Which is made out of wood, actually. It's by the docks, so the water is pretty close, probably about a 10-minute walk from here. And outside, you see a lot of strong, burly-looking individuals, also who are pretty well-armed as well. You notice that these guys are probably about as well-armed as the knights that you've seen walking around, but there are no knights in this area. That being said, these guys aren't armored at all, really. Some of them might be wearing a bit of leather, a tiny bit of chain, maybe, but they do not have any kind of full plate armor on them. But they do have wicked-looking knives, swords, flails, bows, longbows. These are the weapons of war. And by law, they should not be allowed to carry them within Ostwald. So you'll spot seven outside, plus the five who entered into the cabin. And then you lose sight of Donovar.
I guess Luna will arrive first, and he is just going to sort of survey the building for a way in. This is not his forte. He is sort of a man of patience, and having to do stuff under, like, time constraint is not saying he's specialized at. But he's going to look for sort of like an entranceway on his level, sort of upstairs or window, anything like that.
There are windows on the upper area of this cabin. You don't see people walking up there. There's also like a chimney that doesn't look like there's smoke coming out of it, which is another possible entrance. There's also a backdoor entrance, but it seems to be fairly well guarded as well. You'll also notice that other gang members will come and go from the place. It seems like a pretty active area for this gang.
Do they have any sort of insignia? Is there any like greeting, or do they just all seem to know each other?
It looks like they recognize one another by sight. They seem to be fairly well tattooed as a group of them. And they all wear kind of like flat caps, I guess. Like an East End of London kind of cap is what they wear.
He's going to hang back because unfortunately he can't do this without his so-called friends who just let this barbaric act take place. Not that he's holding that against you or anything, but he will wait for Ori to catch up with him because she's very, very good at staying quiet and he's not had the best run so far.
Yeah, the group of you catch up.
Yeah, as you're looking forward, Ari is like already behind you. You don't even hear her like get so close. And she's like looking down, surveying as well, seeing if she can spot anything that maybe you couldn't.
All right, you can roll me a perception check if you like.
Yes. 14.
A 14. You see that there are other people who are coming and going and leaving or coming with bags of gold as well. This might be in relation to this game that Donovar has mentioned before. But they seem like peasant folk who are entering into the building and potentially leaving bets or winning bets.
All right, we'll turn back and say, so we have a few options. We can go through the windows. We can try and get past the guards in the back door. We could potentially go down the chimney. Or we can masquerade as people playing the game.
It seems that the easiest way to get inside is going to be to pretend like we're willing to play this game, no matter how morally perverted it is.
We've collected a bit of gold from the travels, from what people have given us. I guess that can be our offering.
Let's hope it's convincing enough.
Luna sort of like pulls out his meager amount of gold and gestures to you to sort of like pull it together to see sort of what we have between us. How much gold do you guys have? Because I'm not rolling.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just because like Will said that people have been giving us stuff as we go through, so I imagine it's a decent amount.
No peasants would have given you any gold. They do not have any to spare. They'd have given you provisions, and you guys would have whatever gold you have on you, but people aren't going in with huge treasure hoards. As Donovan mentioned, you can bet a gold piece, you could bet your life.
Oh, okay, right. In which case,
it's not necessarily gold, which is the currency of the game.
Tam reaches down into his boot and takes out the knife that Bandit Duel gave him, pretty ornately structured and crafted, and kind of holds that out and says, I'm willing to bet this, though.
All right.
If it does come to parting with it, I won't be happy. We should use these only to gain entrance.
Well, then we can see if we can get through with just the gold that we have first, and if not, then we can offer up more.
Right.
Never show all your cards at once.
You know that game better than I do.
Well, let's head down.
All right. You see the place open before you. Looks like people are going in and speak briefly with the gang members on the door. And as you approach, two of them will look at you. One of them will, give you that kind of like upwards nod with his head as a signaling call and say, yeah, what do you want?
We want to play.
What you got?
Ari will offer up the gold that they have.
Mm-hmm. No weapons inside. Leave them out here.
Of course. Of course. And she takes off what she has. Would it be possible to like keep a dagger like hidden like against her thigh or in her boot or something?
Roll me a sleight of hand.
If our rogue can't be good at sleight of hand, we're screwed.
Yeah. Can I, if it's already there, could I get in bed? Could I get in bed?
He's going to search you. It's the, how good is the, how well hidden is the item?
Oh, I'm so scared.
when you try and get into the club and the bouncer's like, got anything in your boot? And you know there's a dagger in there. we've all been there.
Am I right?
Oh, God. I'm scared. I don't want to hit it.
Do it.
17.
Oh, yeah. The perfect number.
He searches the group of you and does not find any hidden daggers on you. And he lets you inside and says, be respectful.
Always.
Opens the door.
Luna gestures to his staff and sort of says, do you need this as well?
He looks at you and he's like, go on in, old man.
He sort of gives him a sort of stern look as if, you know, that, who are you calling old? But he doesn't say anything and heads in.
He lets you in, making the rookie mistake. But yeah, you are let into this kind of hallway, I suppose. On a chair, which is in the semblance of a throne, sits a man whom appears to be in charge around here. There are several other thugs around inside. The five that you saw attack Donovar are also in here in varying states of like bloodied and bruises on them. You know, Donovar gave about as good as he got. There is no sign of Donovar. However, there is that upstairs area. The staircase leading up there is also guarded as well. The gentleman in the seat, who you presume to be Jasper Wick, is a slim man. He has a lot of gold teeth. He has a pencil thin moustache. And he wears robes and clothes above his station. This guy is clearly a common thug. But he wears some pretty rich looking, dark robes on his person, which are cut trim and fit him well. He's playing with coins that he's flipping over on his thumb over and over and over and over. And as you enter, he will stop, catch the coin, pocket it, and look towards the group of you.
Are you him? And he sort of looks awkwardly at the ground, not wanting to make eye contact.
The figure says, who's him?
My neighbor, he said that there was money to be made. If you had a little.
Money's to be made. Yes, 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 yes. You're in the right place. For money, coin, blood, flesh, weapons, whatever it is you're looking for. Whatever it is you're looking to sell. Ready to put on the line for the game. All is available here at the Barksdale Boys.
Well, perfect, then it seems we're in the right place.
Perhaps you are, or perhaps you're not. We shall see. The game will decide. My name is Jasper Wick. I run this fine establishment. Now, what is it that you are looking to wager?
Ari will bring the gold that they have and put it on the table.
He looks at it.
Very well. Anything else? Just gold?
Yeah, I think we'll try our hand at this and see how it goes first.
All right, then. So, you understand the rules of engagement?
I do apologize, Mr. Wick, but my neighbor, he didn't stick around to tell me when he made his money. He left the capital.
A winner. Good, good. Well, here are our rules of engagement. We play the game to see which member of the 100 will meet their sticky end next. Now, you can place a simple bet on the member of the 100 that you believe to die next. You can make a more specific bet if you'd like. We add in even more rewards if you can guess the way in which they die. Even more if you can guess which other member of the 100 will murder them. So, the current odds that I have on are as such. I've got 3-1 on Cleric, 5-1 on Norcross, and 10-1 on the Raiden girl.
You said a girl? You mean, is she young? Like a child?
13 years of age. Vulnerable target, wouldn't you say? Although you'd think that she is well protected by Lowe's remaining loyal Knights of Raiden, hence the odds.
Do we learn anything else before we place a bet? Is she...
Dear boy, he says, mockingly, despite your age. Why, if I told you all there was to know, it would hardly be a game, would it? We play the odds. Now, it's 20-1 if you can guess dagger, poison, or some other method of murder. 30-1 if you guess the next member who will, murder her. If you guess a cleric is going to murder the Raiden girl, for instance, then the rewards will be huge. However, if she dies, but not by that member of the 100, or not with that exact, method, then you lose. So if one were to bet 10 gold that the Raiden girl was murdered by cleric with a poison goblet, well, you'd be in the money. However, if cleric did kill her, but with a knife or some other method of execution, then you would lose your gold.
How are you always so sure of the methods used to murder them?
It's public record.
But...
always?
How do you know who it is? Does it have to be them? Personally, or could they hire someone like, and then he looks around, realizes where he's standing, and he's just like,
here's the thing, the assassins in this city are off limits from playing the game. By law, they are not allowed to murder any member of the 100. So the little guild that's in town shouldn't be involved. It's likely that they will hire assassins, but me and my friends always know.
Maybe we should confer about this then, before we make our bets.
Perhaps you should. Make it quick. Others will be in soon.
Is there somewhere we can talk?
Outside, in the street.
Is this legal?
Legal? Why? How could it not be?
I didn't mean to impugn your honor, sir. I do apologize.
Best you take it out into your streets with your impunity. Come back when you're ready to make a bet. Or don't come back at all.
Yes, will do, sir.
Come on.
All right, you guys leave and head upstairs.
Yeah, he will sort of hobble out and find somewhere where they can talk quietly.
Okay. Let's cut over to Alistair in that case.
Oh, God.
Alistair, what are you up to in the safe house, if anything?
Waiting. And he's putting together a plan, probably a very bad plan. He knows that when he left Brynlyn, everyone was dead. The entire Brynlyn noble house. And he thinks back to what Sir Raiden said just by seeing the longsword, saying that that was a noble weapon. And he is currently cutting his hair, and trying to make it look a little bit more noble, and taking off and hanging up his overcloak and leathers, so his set of half-plate armor from the House of Brynlyn is now exposed, and unwrapping the swords and the shields, hoping that his brother Tamrin comes back from their adventure with some news that either no one from Brynlyn is here or that it is contested, so that perhaps he can somehow fool the right people that he is not, certainly not a crow from the siege of Arkenberry, but perhaps an unknown survivor from Brynlyn.
So cutting back to the conversation in the street, as Alistair is up to that, the three of you can find a secluded corner in which to speak.
Luna just looks to Ori. You're better at this than I am.
All right. Well, I'm not quite concerned with the bet if we win or lose. It's not like it really matters too much to us. We're not exactly in this for the money, but...
He looks at you and the 24 gold he just pledged, which is all the money in the world to him, but yeah.
You know what I mean.
He nods.
But if we are going to play the game and try to win it, then I say we definitely don't bet against Medesson, because I feel like we're meant to keep her alive, at least for a little while.
I was planning on betting on Medesson.
Right.
If she dies, it'd be nice to win something.
Oh, well, she's not going to die.
Then I'd be a happy loser.
I think she'll probably be the one to kill. That's what Renfred made it sound like. We need his help, somehow, to get this girl under our control.
We need to ask about the weapons. If we find out a little more, there's a chance that we can find out how much they cost. We take that information to the revolutionaries. They want chaos. Revolution is chaos. And in that chaos, they might help us take back the capital.
Well, yes, but we have to think about why we're here. The girl. The question is, how do we get him to help us? Because it seems he does not want to give out the information.
If there is a revolution in the capital, who will be the first people who will be worried about? It'll be the 100. Which means that we can potentially drive them out. And if they are driven out, they can't attend the funeral. Even if it only buys us time. And then we find a way in the chaos while the knights are distracted to try and get in and see the body for ourselves. And I don't say that lightheartedly, nor casually. A lot of people will be put at risk. A lot of people will die in a revolution. But it's the best chance we have at stopping this, if this really is the end goal. Think about it. Creatures that can walk through plague-infested areas, don't need food or sleep. They don't stop. If every land was fighting the plague, if every land was contaminated, they would rule over all. They would have dominion over every last hold and kingdom.
I tend to agree with him. I don't think we can trust this man. He deals in corruptness, in death. Let's ask him for something he would give up without thinking twice.
What?
Which is the information about the arms.
I very much doubt that he's going to hand over information on his arms deals.
Well, if we're looking to buy.
Yes. So we need to figure out how to ask him that we want to buy without explaining quite how large a investment might be made.
I know these people. They won't ask what you're going to use it for.
But
that's not their business.
But
they don't want to know.
The second that we start drawing more attention to ourselves, the sooner we're likely to be recognized.
Well, we're going to a weapon dealer to ask about weapons. I don't think we're doing anything
that
would do that.
And how many people, common folk like, he gestures to us like we pretend to be, can afford weapons? Do you know how much a longsword goes for? Especially one on the black market. More gold than I just played.
Well, we're here to play the game. We're here to make a trade. It's all part of the game.
Then we ask, if we win, we want to buy arms, weapons. We're looking for them for personal investment. Future investment. Or revenge. Something. And we'll need a lot of them. See where that gets us.
We have to make sure that we win as well. That is where I'm stuck.
Then, how about we ask if there are any rules against trying to personally involve ourselves in who dies next?
I would imagine so.
Ask who stops people. But we need to know what the rules are, and then we can ask. There's got to be more people out there right now thinking to themselves, all I have to do is get close to one of them. one crossbow bolt, and I could be richer than I've ever been, richer than my family has ever been, richer than even some well-earned folks. It's their life that they're betting. If they lose, they lose their life anyway. I say it's worth asking.
So what exactly is it then? We're asking if we're allowed to murder the person we bet will die next?
Think about it. We're common folk. If we're willing to, we'd be going up against knights. He probably won't take it too seriously. He'll probably assume that we'll get ourselves killed, but it's worth asking.
All right. And then we ask about the weapons.
We see if we can make an upfront payment now for some weapons to help us in that task. And then we find these revolutionaries and we see about getting them to finally get this revolution started. They don't have any leadership. They don't have any organization.
All right. And then what about the girl, Medesan?
The revolutionaries, they'll be keeping tabs on the 100. They have to be. They're the most powerful people around here. And one thing a revolution always hates, it's powerful people, especially ones who have just inherited a lot of money and have done nothing their entire life other than being told that they are great. They'll be keeping tabs on her.
Well, what does that mean for us then? We're meant to come here and find her. We can't just abandon that.
The best people to ask about that information is the revolutionaries. That's what I'm telling you. They're here. They are local folk. They have a shoddy network, but they have a network that we can tap into.
Fine. Let's go back in.
And, Luna will sort of hobble back towards the guards on the door and head in.
Yep, they let you back in. Jasper Wicker's just finished a conversation with a gentleman who's placed a bet and heads back out. He says, back again, are we? Now, are you ready to make a bet?
I wondered, you mentioned that people had bet their lives. Yes?
Quiet.
So if they lose, you kill them?
Make good on their bet.
So what is to stop individuals like that from getting personally involved? If there was someone...
Why, nothing whatsoever.
So if you were desperate, and if you really needed to win for once in your life, there's nothing to say in your terms that an individual in that situation couldn't try and purchase some arms from yourself and try their luck at gain?
My good man, purchasing arms seems like a different game entirely. Why, if a gentleman had the funds to do so, then perhaps I would consider such a thing.
What if it wasn't a gentleman? What if it was more of an investment of a group? I won't insult you in pretending that I'm a rich man, but I have family, friends, neighbors, and they were all slighted by the same individual.
I understand. This is not an uncommon situation. Now, if you put everything you have on your person, all of the gold, any items, a gesture towards a knife that Tamarin has, involved in this, and I will settle the stakes at, let's say, he looks at you up and down, 3 of you, 100 to 1, why not, 110. Now, who would you be liking to kill next?
He looks to the other two.
Before we make our bet, I have a little more information I'd like to get. Forces from Brenlin, are there any?
Brenlin? I'd have to check my list for you. Is it important?
Terribly.
And anything else?
That's the only information I need. But once I have that, I may be willing to make a bet.
Very well. And without checking any kind of list, he says, there is one who represents, by the name of Erok.
And what are the odds for him, if you have them?
7 to 1.
I look at Ari.
She gives you a smirk.
I look at Luna.
He looks confused at you. And then looks confused at Jasper.
This is the look of, do you want to put the money on the table and then go kill this man?
He shrugs and says, and gestures to his stick and says, I don't have any personal arms. How much would... he gestures to sort of like any of the guards in the room, like anyone at all who's carrying like a sword, anything at all, and just be like, how much would one of those cost?
Well, my friend, if we were to sell weapons to you, we have to know that you are one of us, a friend, you see. It's strictly illegal to sell any kind of weapons within the city. So we only exchange them with friends, you understand, totally within the law. If you were looking to purchase something, knives, drugs, girls, I could see to it.
How can we prove that we're your friends?
By helping me out, of course. The little task.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Go on.
I have several boxes that I need taking to different locations within the city. I would like for some new friends of mine, completely unassociated, to deliver those boxes.
How many? And where?
Are they heavy?
Are they heavy? There are 4 boxes, 4 different locations, which will be given to you upon the agreement of said deal. The boxes are heavy, but no larger than you could carry.
Are we allowed to be seen transporting them?
Well, of course you are. No, I'd advise against it.
Do we?
I see.
We need to shield them from being seen by the knights.
Oh, well, the boxes themselves can be seen. They are innocuous in nature.
But actually, I'm not going to ask that question.
Probably best that you don't.
Well then, anything for a friend.
Good, good. I look forward to our friendship. Of course, if any of these boxes fall out of your hands and into anyone else's, I would be very disappointed and our friendship would be over.
Well, we can't let that happen.
Luna looks pretty terrified. Just, of course, we'll take them wherever they need to be.
Good, good. And then we will deal with whatever it is you're after. Whatever your heart's desire.
Good.
Good. Then why are you still standing here?
I'm sorry. My lord. He sort of gingerly and quite like worriedly sort of leaves.
He lets you leave?
Tam.
So we're not gonna get them now?
Tam very stiffly follows after Luna.
He sort of turns around to the guard on the door and says, I believe I'm a courier. Like, almost shaking with fear.
Yeah, he kind of grunts and goes and gets basically 4 pallet-sized boxes. He kind of like stacks them up on each other. It's quite big, he's a big guy, and just like sets them down. They are like boarded up. They don't have any symbols or signs on them. And he says, don't open these up, whatever you do.
Do you have a cart or anything? He sort of like shows the fact he's an elderly man. It's just, I think I'd hate for a knight or someone to try and stop me to ask me if I need help.
He sighs, goes like wheels round a cart, like a hand cart, really.
Yeah.
And thrusts a note into your hand. It says, delivery instructions.
Right. Do I need to know who I'm delivering it to or where? Or...
No. Where? Okay. Don't ask questions, just do it.
No, okay. And he sort of like begins to sort of adjust things to make sure everything's on the cart, basically stalling for the others.
Well, then we must be on our way then.
All right. You guys head out with the cart and the boxes.
As he...
Where do you want to go?
I'm going to very carefully sort of open the note. It's almost as if it could potentially be some kind of... It like he holds it like it's a bear trap that might go off at any second. And he'll read it if he can.
Yeah. The first address is that of one Mariana Shermer, which is on the west side of town. name would suggest some kind of noble. Second address is a hospital. Third address is a temple to the emperor. And the fourth address is the Camperon household.
I will go ahead and presume I know nothing about anything other than sort of like what a temple and a hospital is. I don't know anything about the houses.
Correct.
So is Luna the only one that read this, or did you read it out loud?
He doesn't read it out loud, but he will offer it to you. And he looks to Ori and sort of will stop somewhere, like take the car to one side and wait for both of them to read it and then lean in and just say, "Remember what I said a few days past about the siege. If you needed something to start a siege, something that was inconspicuous, that could be easily hidden in a pouch or a container or a box that could topple buildings."
Well, that's not our concern. Our concern is the delivery. And she takes the note out of your hand to read it, and her eyes are scanning the page, and she gets to the bottom name, and she looks up at Tamron and says, Tam? And she looks really nervous and starts like looking back and forth and just like freezes with a letter in her hand.
What is it?
We're going to see some old friends.
You know one of these people?
It's your mother.
Tamron freezes. Everything recedes. And he focuses solely on the note. And he takes it from her as if just not believing that it's true until he sees the Camperon name at the bottom.
We can't take it to them.
We have to.
If what's in these boxes is what Luna says, I'm not taking it to my own family.
Well, we don't even know exactly what's in these boxes. We're all just guessing. All of this is a guessing game.
Oh, I'm not going to take any chances.
Maybe you shouldn't be the one to take it to them. I don't want to upset you, Tamron, but again, we don't know what's in these boxes and we don't know why they need it.
We do what he says. We leave the box at wherever they are, but they will not be there when it's opened.
Okay.
What if, gods be damned, I don't want to ask you this, but what if I'm entirely wrong? What if this is something else? What if they know your family? What if this isn't? I'm just jumping to conclusions here because that's all we ever seem to do, but what contact have you had with them?
None. But look at the other places on these lists. A noble, a hospital, and a temple to the emperor. I doubt that these are bouquets of flowers. If you wanted to incite chaos, these would be the places you attack.
Well, I guess the only way to answer that is to find out what's in them, if you're willing.
Is there any way they could know? I have something that I used to do when I wanted to check to see if Lucio had been going into cupboards she shouldn't. And sort of reaches up and his hairline is receding, but he plucks a single hair and quite oddly licks the hair. But then he places it over the edge of sort of the crack of the lid and sort of smooths it in place. And quickly sort of the spittle kind of darkens and dries, and he points and says, "Something as simple as that, something really hard to see, but if it was broken or it wasn't there, generally told me that it had been opened. Could they have any way of knowing that we opened them? Maybe if we're being followed."
My fear is that these boxes were meant to be opened once. Whoever does that dies.
Could have anything. Could have the plague. Could have one of those creatures that we saw.
Well, then it's not worth the risk. I'm sorry, Tam, I don't know what else to do. We just have to take them where they're meant to go.
He looks back down at the list.
Why is she important?
Who?
Your mother.
Why is your daughter important to you?
If they were trying to target you, they're easier ways to do it than this. I don't think this is about you. I think this is about them.
I fear the same thing.
Is she a noble? Is she connected, powerful in any way?
Luna, he doesn't know. He doesn't know anything.
Ari, it's all right. I don't know what they've been doing after they left. My plan is that we take the first box to Mariana. We wait until it's opened. We see what happens.
All right. Should we get Alistair?
We should. If we go back and someone is following us, he just kind of glances over his shoulder, we could jeopardize his discovery.
And our own.
And without Donovar to protect us, it looks like we have to fend for ourselves.
Well then, let's take them where they're meant to go, and then maybe when we get back, we can save him too. Maybe.
That sounds like the best option. You said Mariana's house is on the west side of town. Where are we at this point?
You guys are in the Barksdale district in the east side of town. Alistair is southeast at the safe house. West is towards Mariana Shermer's address.
And that's the nicer part of town, isn't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't look out of place of a cart, though, I mean.
Okay. What's our story if we get stopped?
Is there a market area around here?
Yeah.
He's going to start heading quickly towards the market area and look for the place where all of the veg sellers are tipping all their rotten stuff. And like all the, there's like basically the dumpsters, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, you can find plenty of rotten food lying around in a medieval town.
He finds sort of like simple like potatoes that are sort of a little bit too ripe sort of gathers them together and sort of piles them up. And I don't know if you've ever smelt that, but that is foul. And sort of like get some stuff together on the cart and then he'll look for like a tarp or anything that he can like, even if it's just like a Hessian sack that's like torn or like sank from the market to throw over it. And
yeah, you find a manky old cloth and put it over top.
Yeah. And he covers it up and he just says, if anyone asks, we were heading through to get rid of collecting waste to take it out of town, out of the nicer areas and dump it somewhere that it won't be so offensive to those with influence and power and money. No one's going to want to go through all of that.
Well, it'd be one honorable thing we do today.
We're not actually going to go and collect all the rubbish.
No, I'm aware, Luke.
Yeah, you take the cart to the west side of town, using this as your disguise. No one seems to stop you. Most people around here just kind of vie away from you and leave you to your work. There is a stronger presence of the knights in this area of town. But you will arrive at the mansion of Miss Mariana Shermer. There's a little kind of like gate which is open, and there's a large door before you.
Tim.
What do the instructions say to do with it exactly?
They just give the address.
He will sort of head over to sort of the address. You said there was a gate?
Yeah, you can head through the gate. It's open.
Cool. He will gesture for them to sort of stay here, and he will like gather up all the rotten stuff in the tarp and leave it sort of by the gate, and we'll wheel the cart up towards the door and knock, and then he'll fall into sort of a low humble bow.
Yeah, you knock on the door, and Tamarin and Ori are close enough to hear and see. A door opens, and a child no older than 9 or 10, fuck, a little boy with blonde hair opens the door. Hello?
I have a delivery, my lord.
Oh, it's for Mummy. Is it her medicine? She's sick. And that's where we wrap up tonight's episode of Turncloaks.
Oh my god, it's come full circle. We're the soldiers. Implications.
Oh, Tamarin, how's it feel to be bound?
You bastard!
And you have his fucking knife! You have his knife! Yeah, you literally... Oh my god!
Oh, and guess who else is on that list and needs some medicine?
Oh,
you that is the worst.
Son oh. of a...
A temple, a hospital. Yeah.
It is, yeah. I knew it was an attacker, just... Oh, you son of a... Like, you actual bastard.
Oh, man, that was good. Well, hopefully you guys have enjoyed tonight's episode of Tenklex as much as I have.
Hurry, like, we need to hurry up and wrap it up because I need to talk about theories.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We can record some of the theories for, like, a bonus track episode or something.
Okay.
Well.
Okay.
But we will wrap up tonight's episode. We're back same time next week. Every Monday, you can listen to Turncloaks. If you enjoy the show, please let us know on Twitter, @TurncloaksPod. Tweet out your reactions. Tweet out your thoughts, your own theories. And, of course, drop us a 5-star review on iTunes if you have not already. So we'd love to read them out. We'll read one out here in a few moments' time. Let's whip around the cast and crew. Did we enjoy ourselves? Where can we find you guys online? Let's start with Joseph for tonight.
Did I enjoy myself? No.
Would I recommend to a friend?
Legitimately speechless. Actually furious. And yet still having a good time. So... it's always one of the more frustrating and yet joyful parts of my week. You can find me online on Twitter at Joseph is not fast. Crying.
Dude.
Sydney.
Yeah, that was something. I'm not even going to get into too much. I just want to talk about it with everybody, like in the meta, out of character. I'm so ready.
You were too okay with this, Sid, okay? You were too okay. You're too excited.
No. I think I have something.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. I'm Sydney. You can find me everywhere. Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, all of those things at Sydneyak. And what else do I do? I'm so shook. I'm also the Dungeon Master for Wonder Quest Podcast, which you can follow at Wonder Quest Pod. And I'm on Encounter Roleplay on Wednesdays and the D&D channel on Saturdays on Twitch. I should have said on Twitch. It's on Twitch.
Josh.
You are a bad man. You are a bad, bad man. And one day someone will... I hate you. And you can find me on Encounter Roleplay doing Encounter Roleplay things. And yeah... I don't actually have anything to say to you right now, so...
good. And last but not least, Tool School.
Yeah, don't think that I didn't hear a little name that you dropped as well. Just in case, because I wasn't involved in all those scenes.
I'm so sorry.
Having issues as well. Yeah. Because I can tell you, it's... Yeah. Yeah, Alistair's going to have... totally 180 degree reactions to whoever that is.
Oh god. Squall,
I am Tall Squall. You can find me at Tall Squall on Twitter, and there are links to all my other social media things that I do from there. Let me know that you found us through Turncloaks, and
Hell yeah. All right, well, we're going to read out one of your wonderful 5-star reviews. This is by Dungeonetics on the iTunes. The title is Turncloaks, Not Your Grandma's Podcast. it reads, unlike some of the other stumbly-fumbly D&D podcasts out there, each player is 100% committed to the character and its deep exploration, never talking over each other or trying to one-up at the table. We owe this to Will, the mind and master behind one of the most enriching and emotional casts out there. You do you, and good luck, players. You are being led by a madman.
Yes. Yep.
Well, in case you weren't sure.
At this point, episode 15, you guys should be well aware of that. But hey, we're going to be back next week for episode 16. Hopefully you guys are ready for it. Until next time, try not to roll too many nat ones. Won't be here laughing when you do. Stay well, get your medicine, and good night.
Bye-bye.